The idea is to understand that negative belief systems, that is, belief systems that may be incorporated into your personality, into your consciousness, that are, shall we say, against the grain of your true self, out of alignment with your true self, out of alignment with your joy, out of alignment with your love, in alignment with your fear, belief systems of that nature, for lack of a better term, let's term them negative, mechanically, because negative energy separates, segregates, compartmentalizes, as opposed to positive energy, which integrates and makes whole. That is the mechanical definition, positive and negative energy. Belief systems, then, that your personality may have been fed since childhood, that may still be with you in your consciousness, may allow you then to experience the idea of fear. And in experiencing the idea of fear, it brings with it many times an inability to recognize what is going on in your consciousness. It has, in a sense, separated you from awareness of yourself. And thus then, when you encounter circumstances and situations in life that may interact with those belief systems, or more euphemistically, as you put it in your language, that push your buttons, you then may find yourself, rather than being aware of what the belief is that is causing the reaction within you that is negative, you may simply go into the idea called denial, which is simply lack of awareness of yourself. And you may then, because you are compounding the negative energy, go into further negative energy, which would be separation. And in the energy of denial, and in the energy of separation, because it is separate from yourself, or seems to be, you will then project the idea of the causation of this feeling outward, beyond yourself, not in yourself. You will project onto others, blame other situations for what you are experiencing, rather than accepting the responsibility for the feeling, for the experience, based on the belief systems going on within you. Now, this does not mean that you cannot recognize and cannot acknowledge when someone else might in fact be acting out of integrity, might in fact be negatively attacking you or doing something hurtful intentionally. This does not mean you cannot recognize what their actions are based on. But depending upon the clarity that you have within your own consciousness, depending upon the level of awareness you have about what belief systems you yourself have bought into, you can, regardless of anyone else's intention, you can utterly determine the effect you experience in your life. You do not have to react to any given situation or circumstance in any particular way. You can decide how you will use the information, how will you use the idea in your lives, how you will integrate the information. You can decide to experience it in a positive way, to get a positive effect out of it, regardless of what they may have intended, consciously or unconsciously. All you have to do, first of all, is recognize that if you do start to react and attack back, that is simply the mechanism of separation, of projection, based on denial or lack of awareness of the negative belief systems that you may have bought into that are perched within your unconscious self. All you have to do is get in touch with what those negative definitions, those fear definitions, might be. The idea, thus then, is that this concept, this three-part concept, denial, separation, projection, is another tool that you can use to give yourself a moment of pause in any circumstance and to be more consciously aware of what the choices are for you in terms of how you will interact and how you will respond rather than react to any given circumstance, and thus allow your life, your energy, your experience of the interaction, of the event, of the exchange, to be one that works for you in a positive way, again, regardless of what anyone else's intention, consciously or unconsciously, might have been. Because the choice and the power and the control, in that sense, is always in your hands. And reactions are usually, in the negative sense, only based on the fact that you have incorporated within you belief systems that are out of alignment with your truth, your joy, your love, and are in alignment with your fear, your doubt. And remember, fear is your own energy. What you experience as the sensation of fear is your own energy. And it is exactly the same energy as the energy you experience when you experience love and joy. It is exactly the same energy, but it is a different frequency of that energy. Why is it a different frequency? Because when you flow or channel your energy through your personality, through your consciousness, and your consciousness has a negative belief system within it that it's out of alignment with your truth, that energy will be experienced as a sensation you call fear. When you experience your energy or channel your energy through positive belief systems, you will experience the same energy as the frequency of joy and love. But this is also a very powerful tool, because it can help put you in touch with where you're at, what kind of belief systems you have. Because if you find yourself experiencing fear, that can tell you you have a belief system that needs looking at, that needs clarifying. We have many times, and many of you have heard this, use the analogy of the instrument on your planet you call the piano. If you are playing a wonderful song that you love, and all of a sudden you hit a flat note, a sour note, you do not run away from the piano screaming, vowing never to play it again, usually. You will simply say to yourself, that key needs to be tuned, to be brought back into harmony with the rest of the keys. That's what fear is. It's simply a flat key. It is simply letting you know you have a belief system that your energy is channeling through that result in this frequency. If you want to bring that key back into harmony with the rest of your beliefs, then use it to find out what kind of a belief system you would have to believe, what kind of idea you would have to buy into, what kind of perspective you would have to hold to be true in order to experience that kind of a reaction. Once you use your fear in that way, it will automatically transform, more or less quickly, into curiosity and imagination. And you will be able to use that energy to delve into yourself and find out what that belief system is, and then change it into a definition you prefer, which then, by doing, will automatically replace the old one. Why? Because you said so, that's why. No more complicated than that. No extra process needed, unless you insist on one, but that's your choice. But when you replace it, when you invent, when you imagine a new definition, and you believe in it wholeheartedly, and you act like you believe in it wholeheartedly, then your life will reflect that belief to you, and you will see the fear transform, and you will see the reality transform. But again, I remind you, as I always will, when this point comes up, it must be an unconditional change. You must change the belief because that's who you say you are, not because of what you think it will get you. Yes, I will be happy if this happens. I will be happy when this happens. Yes, I will change my belief because I know it will change my reality to look like this or look like that. That's conditional. It needs to be unconditional, which means you need to change the belief and live in the state you prefer to live just because that's who you say you are, even if nothing else were to change. You see, the mark, the measure, the symbol of whether or not you have really, really changed is that you start to respond differently, more positively, to what's going on outside around you, even if what's going on outside around you stays the same. It is not the mark of change that your outside world changes. It will, but only after you don't care if it does. That's the paradox. You have to change for change's sake, for your own sake, because the change is representative of simply who you are, and that's it. Not because of what you think it will do, or who you think it will change, or what you think it will get you. That's conditional, and this whole idea is about unconditional love, first of yourself. Because if you don't love yourself unconditionally, you can't love anyone else, really. And then the outward expression of that unconditional love toward your life, toward everyone in your life, toward everything and everyone and all that is. This idea also goes hand in hand with a side concept we would like to address that we would like to call ground floor spirituality. The idea is to keep your spirituality simple, obvious, evident, plain, everyday, immediate, here and now. Not allowed to get too lofty in the sense of moving away from physical reality. As you simply live your physical life, to the fullest and be who you are as best as you can be, you will become, in a sense, more aligned with your spiritual side. You will elevate your vibration, your frequency. It's not about detaching from physical reality. It's about incorporating and integrating spirituality and physicality into one, all-embracing life, embracing action, being, doing, saying. An example. There is, in the structure that you are all now sitting near, what you call the building, in what you call one of the upstairs bathrooms, there are three signs. One sign says, the greatest thing is to learn to know oneself. The other sign says, a prayer for serenity, asking for serenity to know what you need to accept, courage to change things that can be changed, wisdom to know the difference. Most of you are familiar with that. But the third sign says, put only toilet paper in the toilet. This is the essence of ground floor spirituality. That which belongs to that which belongs. That which is correct for that which is correct and appropriate. To a Zen master, the third sign would be the most spiritual sign. The adherence to the third sign automatically and instinctively, for example, would be a sign that the other two signs had already been fulfilled. Because you automatically simply would know what belongs where, without having to be told. You get the point? All right. Now then, we will take this opportunity once again to thank each and every one of you for allowing this exchange to take place. And once again, in return for the gift that you are giving to our society, I ask, in what way may I now be of service to you? You! Good day. Wait for your magic stick. And speak up and be bold so that all may hear what you have to share. In this sense, this is one of the positive sides of projection.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Greetings.
I just
couldn't pass up the opportunity. I first listened to your tapes in 1987 and had the opportunity to be at Elmira in New York in the spring of 87.
Yes, you find this amusing?
I do. I do find it amusing after 11 years and everything that's occurred since then my participation with Andrew in creating an East Coast Esasani connection. And what struck me in your introduction was at that time you were talking about the ecstatic explosion of synchronicity.
Yes.
And I just want to say I'm just so totally amazed that you guys keep coming up with different ways of saying the same thing.
How can you be amazed that the universe is infinite?
Well, I guess
in
it would
fact,
be.
That's exactly that what the universe is, an infinite number of perspectives of the same one moment of creation. That's what the universe is.
Yeah. And after 11 years, I'm getting it.
I live
my life now.
Right, 11 is a good number.
Oh, yeah.
12
and I have no judgment on how long it took me.
That is all right. There is no need for judgment on this.
But
timing is what it is.
Yes, and that's exactly, I've been experiencing day to day that even the seemingly negative, as I've heard time after time, is perfect. And
yes,
it always has been perfect, and it always
everything
has been an ecstatic explosion.
Everything is fundamentally neutral.
Yeah.
Even when something then is made to seem negative, it can at any moment, because you have the free will and you have the power to choose, be rendered back into neutrality and then be rendered into a positive energy if you so desire. Everything is fundamentally neutral and thus can always be rendered back into neutrality, and thus a decision made as to what effect it will have on your life based on the label you give it.
Yes.
It's the third law. There are only four absolute laws in creation. Just four. That's it. Just four. One, two, three, four. That's it. There are no more laws. Now, when we say law, we are not talking about rules. We're talking about laws that cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. Impossible to break. That's why they're laws. Anything else Anything that can be broken is not a law. It's an agreement, a rule, a convenience, whatever you wish to call it. It's not a law. Even some of what you call your laws of physics are not laws because they don't apply everywhere in every dimension of experience. Only perhaps to your dimension, your reality. But the four laws, briefly, before we continue, are this. Number one, you exist. You will never change that. You will never, ever not exist. You will change. You will never not exist. Existence only has one quality, to be. That which does not exist is different, is the other side of the coin. And both sides must be present to create the coin, or neither side can be. So if there is existence, the other side of the coin is non-existence, and that which does exist will always be one side of the coin. There is no room in non-existence for things that exist, because non-existence is already completely full with everything that will never exist. There is no room for existence in non-existence. One will never become the other, but both come from the one. So that's law number one, you exist and you always will and you always have. Law number two, the one is the all. The all are the one. Every piece is not only a part of the whole, but every piece is the whole, expressing itself as a part of the whole. That's the holographic paradox. And the one is all the pieces together, but knows itself as the one and all the pieces that it is. There is nothing outside the one. All the pieces are the one. There is no outside. Law number three, as we were just discussing, what you put out is what you get back. I think most of you are familiar with that to some degree. Law number four. Everything changes except the first three laws. Everything changes except the